broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 28th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two, and our goal is incredibly simple. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We celebrate the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, and we, the people, need to absolutely get involved. If we want to make America great again, which we support, we got to make America moral again, folks. There is no if, ands, or buts about it. That's the way we've got to get it done. All right, without further ado, an incredible guest today, ladies and gentlemen. And this lady has been an icon in Utah, doing a tremendous job for literally years and years and years. She's been standing for liberty on almost every front you could possibly imagine. And her name is Christian Chevrier. And she wrote her thesis and got her master's degree from Brigham Young University. She got it in English, folks. And she did so while she was expecting her third child. So she's certainly multi-talented. Multitasking, I can't even get one thing done, much less 50 like that. Nevertheless, she's taught writing, literature, history, and theater professionally while homeschooling her five children, folks. She has chronicled her homeschooling experiences on her blog, homeschoolwise.com. Anyway, she's got a bunch going on, multiple websites. We'll unfold a little bit more about who she is as the broadcast unfolds. Kristen, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are very welcome. Now, you, how do I say this? You've been involved in radio. You've been involved in homeschooling. You've been, and a few years ago, you discovered this vaccine battle and started to dig into that. Tell us about that.
Well, the way I got involved in it was that I was being ridiculed by family members for not vaccinating. And so I had decided with my fourth child, when I took her in to get her first round of shots, I felt that it was just the mother instinct that we needed to not do this anymore. And I think it was for that specific child, but I'm just not sure. Anyway, I had not really researched it. I was just going on my gut until I got tired of being harangued by my brothers for endangering the planet by not vaccinating my children. And so I started researching deeply and came across a book by Suzanne Humphreys, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, who is a board certified internist and a nephrologist. And she left her practice because the hospitals were giving her patients flu shots without her consent. And she was seeing kidneys just collapse because people were dying from the injections of flu shots.
And yeah, the bottom line is the kidneys couldn't take the toxins that the vaccines were delivering, right?
Exactly. And so she felt like she couldn't practice anymore if she didn't have control over her patients. So I read her book, which is a history of vaccination and all of the illnesses that we commonly vaccinate for. She goes through each one individually. And as I went through her book, I made flashcards and I wrote down all the terms that were unfamiliar to me, and I looked them up, and I studied this really carefully. And by the time I got about halfway through her book, I was just on fire. And I could not believe that I had taken so long to educate myself on vaccines, and I felt like I had to spread the word. So everywhere I went, I took the book with me, and I said, did you know this? Did you know this? And I started telling people about it. So.
And then what happens, instead of ridiculing you, what they do is they just get mad at you, don't they?
They do. Yeah. At first, when I first started talking about it openly, like on Facebook or in other areas, people would just, the usual thing is, well, what about smallpox? What about polio? Well, if you read her book, you'll see what about those. And you'll see that the anti-vaccine movement has been around as long as vaccines have been around, because people were able to see the dangers that they presented.
And what about the thousands of years when they didn't have vaccines at all? I mean, if it was as horrible as they make you think, then there'd be nobody even left to procreate and continue the population. It would be so horrible, wouldn't it?
Right. A lot of the arguments just don't make sense. In fact, I went through and made a template the other day because we had a discussion on one of our state senators' on his Facebook page. He had just posted a question, and he was being attacked from all sides, even though he hadn't really stated an opinion.
Yeah, how dare you even ask the right questions, though, huh, Kristen?
Yeah, so I went through and I answered a lot of the comments that were being made, and I presented factual material and studies and just kept getting attacked. And so I just went through that day and made a little template for a discussion between anti-vaccine people and pro-vaccine people. And it goes almost exactly the same way every time. They bring up smallpox and polio, and then they go to Dr. Andy Wakefield, who was the first one in our generation or our time period who presented some serious concerns about vaccines, and in his case it was the MMR, the combined polyvalent mumps, measles, rubella, because up until that point they had been separate vaccines. And when you combine three different vaccines with all the adjuvants and the antigens and everything all mixed together and then inject that into your bloodstream, there's no telling what it can do. So anyway, they go to him and attack him, and then, you know, it's just an established pattern. And what they usually do is throw out insults rather than present actual studies to back up what they're saying.
Yeah, kind of like the idea that the cases of polio that exist in the United States now are pretty much results of the vaccinations, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. And you can see if you go through the graph from when they introduced the shot or the vaccine, in polio's case it was an oral vaccine, but when they introduced it and there were vaccination campaigns, you can see geographically spikes in the number of cases of polio wherever they were using the vaccine heavily. But they don't want to hear this.
Well, we hate it when that happens. The truth starts to come out. They don't know what to do with it. They say that these vaccinations exactly. are safe and effective. And the biggest indictment that I would have against them is, then why don't we just abolish the vaccine compensation fund that Congress put together in the 80s that has literally spent billions when it goes wrong? Why do we have that? And why do we need it if they're all safe and effective?
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the things that I brought to a hearing up at the Capitol the other day, it was a interim committee meeting, I brought the vaccine injury table from the vaccine court, and that's a list of all of the injuries that they will automatically pay out for if you meet the criteria that they have listed on their sheet. They know those injuries happen, and they happen with those particular vaccines, and that's why they're on the vaccine injury table.
And so why do we even have a vaccine court, though? Why not just go to normal court, get a jury of our peers, and look at it honestly and transparently and openly? Why would we have to have a special court that buries all these cases and the average Joe doesn't know anything about them?
I can tell you. I can tell you why.
Go ahead.
The reason is that in the 1970s, when the DPT shot was being used, it's now the DTaP, they've changed it, but it was causing so many injuries that the vaccine manufacturers went to Congress and they said to keep vaccinating if we have to keep settling all these lawsuits. And so,
in other words, these corporations were saying, hey, it's just not worth the risk reward analysis here. The risk is too great. It's too problematic. And government literally got them off the hook.
They did. Yes, they removed all the vaccine manufacturers and anybody who administers vaccines from any liability for injury. Just imagine if they did that with cars, or if they did that even with antibiotics, or any other kind of...
Well, how about cigarette makers? They could just get those guys off the hook, right?
Yeah, well, exactly.
I'm not suggesting we should. I'm demonstrating the absurd by being absurd a little bit. But to make the point is that, hey, You know what? Taking the jab is very toxic, ladies and gentlemen. And the point is, they know it, don't they?
They do know it. They absolutely know it. And the interesting thing is that they always try to downplay it. In a few minutes or whenever you want to, I can tell you about the new vaccine education module that's coming out on July 1st in Utah.
All right. So let's back up for a second so people understand. Utah used to be one of the kind of freest states when it comes to vaccinations because there was a lot of exemptions. It wasn't just a specific religious exemption. You could have a philosophical exemption. It was pretty broad. And it was a good thing, and there's very few states that have as broad of latitude respecting parental rights as Utah has had. However, Utah has kind of become the tip of the spear in this discussion, and things are changing rapidly. Kristen's on top of it, ladies and gentlemen, and she's going to kind of break it down. And even if you're not from Utah, because people listen internationally and around the world to this program and to all kinds of radio stations across the country and such, Kristen, just so you know. And so a lot of people aren't from Utah, but the reason that you care, folks, is because what happens in one state eventually gets exported to a theater near you. And that's kind of the big concern.
Well, and
go ahead.
Right. The vaccines are everywhere. You need to be aware of what's happening everywhere on the vaccine front because mandates are the end game. That's what they want.
They will incrementally move it forward in a given state, find a pattern that works, and then it'll roll across the country to a, quote, vaccination tyrannical force the jab in a theater near you scenario. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Kristen Chevrier with us. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Christine Chevrier with us, ladies and gentlemen. VaccineFreedomUtah.com is one of her many websites. We're talking about what's happened. So Utah used to be the tip of the spear for kind of liberty on vaccinations, but it's changing to the negative quite rapidly. We're doing our best to make this transparent. We're not really telling you to not get vaccines, folks. What we're telling you is to study yourself, figure it out, and we want you to have transparent information and then for you to be able to make up your own choice. Is that a great place to start, Kristen?
Yes, exactly. Informed consent. And in order to have informed consent, you have to have accurate information. And what we are not given when we go to the doctor's office is accurate information. You're given the smallest amount of information that they can give you and that they legally have to give you. Did you want to talk about changes in the Utah law?
Yeah, please. So let's just start out and say, though, that we used to be one of the most kind of free states in this venue, right?
And we still are. We still have all of those exemptions.
Okay, so that's good for now, but all I'm telling you is they move the needle, and then they educate,
yes,
and they
absolutely.
Try to create
absolutely.
A consensus, and I'm telling you, this is the start of the change if we're not very, very vigilant, right?
And really, move the needle is the phrase you got to remember here.
Move the needle. That was a good one. Right?
Yeah, I'd just say don't take the jab, but I'm with you. Good point, Kurt. I'm just saying that's how it kind of starts, though, is with this educational push and change, right?
It is, and they have said, the Utah Department of Health and the BYU College of Nursing, who are behind all of the vaccine crackdown pushes in Utah, have said over and over again that mandates are on the horizon. I mean, it's always the threat that's just sitting right behind whatever else they're doing. So as far as Utah law, the existing law, which changes this July 1st, so just in a week or so, we had three exemptions, personal, religious, and medical. The medical exemption is pretty much useless. So if anybody tells you, oh, we're going to take away the other two exemptions, but we'll leave the medical exemption for people who really need it, the lie there is that the people who really need it can't demonstrate that they need it until they're already injured. And so you can't get a medical exemption unless you've been injured. So it doesn't protect you. It's retroactive. And even then, it's not guaranteed.
And oftentimes it requires a physician documentation to that effect, that a physician agrees with an assessment as well. And most physicians are afraid of that because what will happen to their insurance? What will happen to their... And so the physicians back away from it big time as well, right?
Yes. Yes, they do. So I do not think the medical exemption is worth much at all. The personal exemption or philosophical exemption is where you just say it's against my personal belief to do this. I just don't want to do it. And then the religious exemption is where you have actual religious beliefs that contradict the vaccine, the whole philosophy of vaccines.
Yeah, and there's part of a problem with that, too, because depending on the predominant religion that you are, you know, it could be said that, oh, well, the Southern Baptist Convention's fine with vaccines. You say you're a Baptist and you're not, or the Mormons are fine with it, and the church says they're fine with it, but you say you're a Mormon and it's not. At some point, that can become a double-edged sword and be used against you, manipulative
as
well.
It has been used that way in Utah because the LDS Church is not anti-vaccine. And the old Utah law said that your church had to specifically say that they opposed vaccination in order for you to claim the religious exemption. So what's happened now is, under the old law, there was a juvenile court penalty for noncompliance. So if you didn't have the exemption or the vaccines in a timely manner, according to the schools or to the health department, you could be taken to juvenile court, which we all know could lead to having your children taken from you.
So it's not just happening to people on the border, ladies and gentlemen. It's happening to the vaccine folks who say they don't want to take the jab as well, right?
Yes.
All right.
It happens throughout. There are medical kidnappings all the time, and not just for vaccinations, but that's one of the major issues. okay, so now... What the law says, we've removed the juvenile court penalty for noncompliance. We've extended it so that there's a 21-day grace period. And I know this sounds ridiculous because we shouldn't even have to ask for exemptions. It should be our own personal choice what we do as far as medical intervention is concerned. But
yeah, it's kind of like a concealed carry, ladies and gentlemen. We would prefer constitutional carry, not a concealed carry permit. Nevertheless, even a concealed carry permit's better than denying you your right to keep and bear arms. So the same thing kind of applies here, right?
Right, exactly. So now we've removed that juvenile court penalty. We've given a 21-day grace period from the time school starts for people to either get the vaccines or get exemptions. And now there's an online method for getting your exemptions. You used to have to go into the health department, and for some people that was a 3-hour drive, and they would drive there with their children, and some of them came out vaccinated instead of with exemptions because they were pressured and bullied by the health department into getting the vaccine.
Yeah, by the way, Kristen, I've been there and done that, and they literally look at your kid, and they go, you know, you understand that you're putting your child at extreme risk, and your child's sitting there listening to this literal verbal abuse going on, and it takes a real strong person to say, I understand, ma'am, we're not taking the jab, let's get the paperwork finished, and it takes a real kind of a stand-up person to get that done with the way they literally play on emotions and divide families and make children question their parents. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I've watched it personally.
Well, I'm glad you've seen it, because I know some people do have a pleasant exchange when they go into the health department, but some people really haven't. And so we've made it so that there is now an option. You can either go into the health department and talk to a person there, or you can do an online, they call it the vaccine education module. I call it the vaccine indoctrination module. And actually, I have some friends coming over here today, and we're going to go through each slide in the module and correct the fallacies in this education module. But we were just shown the module last Wednesday, a little over a week ago, in the interim committee meeting for the Health and Human Services Committee. They brought it there, and they were supposed to be bringing it in for approval from the legislative committee, which they didn't really end up having to do. I was told when this law was being drafted that three things would happen. One is that old exemptions would be grandfathered, and that you, if you had an existing lifetime exemption for your student, that you wouldn't have to renew it. Well, they went back on that. The next thing was that that we would be able to weigh in on the education module. And they specifically promised me and Gail Rizika from the Eagle Forum that we would both be able to weigh in on the development of the module. And despite the fact that I followed this from the time the law was signed until January and kept asking when we were going to be able to weigh in on it, and I have emails back from them saying, oh, we'll contact you as soon as we're working on them. And I never was. So then we get to this meeting where the legislative committee was also supposed to approve it, but I was told by the sponsor of the bill that that was not the case, that they were just going to see it and not approve it, that it was up to the health department to approve it. So that's the background. We get to this meeting, and the health department people get up at the desk there to talk about the module, and the chair of the committee says, did you have anything to put on the screen? And they say no. And so they go on for a couple of seconds, and then the chairman says, well, I thought we were going to see the module. And they kind of hemmed and hawed around. They obviously did not want to show the module. But he said, well, I would like you to see it. I would like to see it. So let's get it up on the screen, and we'll do something else while we're waiting for you to do that. So they get it up on the screen, and they say that they have talked to parents of non-immune children. Well, non-immune is a stupid term to begin with, because immunity can come from different places. And just because you haven't had a vaccine doesn't mean you're that you are immune. And if you've had a vaccine, it doesn't necessarily, it's just a non sequitur. Vaccination does not equal immunization. The first thing they say is they go through a list of myths. And the first myth, vaccines are dangerous.
Okay, now that's a fact. Hold on, that's a fact, or the compensation fund to the tune of billions of dollars wouldn't exist.
Exactly. So we're just sitting there watching this, and they are so blatant and in your face. They say that the reality is that vaccines are a safe and effective way to protect your health. And then studies have proven that vaccines do not cause autism. Well, that's totally false, because the study that they say proved it was falsified and data was destroyed, and they knew that their study actually proved a causal association between autism and the measles, mumps, rubella, polyvalent.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Kristen Chevrier with us. Wow, Kristen Chevrier, vaccinefreedomutah.com. Hang tight.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Kristen Chevrier with us. I got to get this right. Kristen Chevrier, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so sorry about this. I guess the problem is I just barely know English. And so when you try to use these other words that come from other languages at their root and stuff, it's very, you know, hard for rednecks
really
like me.
Doesn't it?
Kristen Chevrier is with us. Little housekeeping before we continue. Kurt, you wanted to ask her a question?
Well, could you tell me the name of the book you were talking about that you said you carried around with you after you studied up on it, the author and the name or whatever?
Sure. Yeah, it's Suzanne Humphreys, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, and the name of the book is Dissolving Illusions. So Dissolving Illusions, and the subheading is Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History.
And I appreciate her kindness about forgotten history, but the intentionally buried history is really the truth.
Well, yes. Yes, that's true.
But she's a little too kind, but she's spot on the points, ladies and gentlemen. And understand that 4 years ago, Kristen really worked at studying these vaccination things. And then she started this Vaccine Freedom Utah, an organization educating parents about their rights when it comes to vaccinating their children and helping people understand. It's not about telling people not to vaccinate, folks. It's about helping people with transparent information so they can make wise, informed choices themselves. We're talking about the old law in Utah and the new law and what the differences are with the law going into effect July the 1st. So they got rid of this, court that you would go to or whatever for juveniles.
Penalty, yeah.
Okay, and now they just have a 21-day waiting period. You don't have to go into the health clinic anymore. You can do it online. Those are good moves, at least, right?
Those are good, yeah. The bad thing is that now we're looking at this education module, and it's just total propaganda. So there are little bits of fact in there, but not very much. And so we are actually going to give them our input. We're working on that this morning to go through each slide on this and give them our input. But I don't really expect them to incorporate what we say into into the module, because they don't. They want you to believe that the diseases, or they call them diseases, they're just illnesses. They're childhood illnesses. And for centuries, people had these illnesses, and most people did not die of them. When large numbers of people were dying from these illnesses, it was because they were in situations where there was not proper nutrition, there was not proper care, and there was not proper sanitation. So if you can give people clean, healthy food and clean water, and particularly vitamins A and C, you can get through the measles without any adverse events. The only time in a first world country that someone should die of measles, in fact, they should never die of measles, it's a secondary thing.
In other words, the reality, ladies and gentlemen, is we want you to go naturally through it, let your natural immunities and defenses become built up and strengthened, which is the body's way to fight off any disease we're talking about. So we're for natural immunity rather than herd immunity, right? Which herd immunity is a false notion in the first place.
Herd immunity it's not. It's a myth. If you want to talk about myths, they've got their whole list of myths here, and they're calling it now community immunity instead of herd immunity, but it's the same idea. They're just changing the name because I guess it sounds more warm and fuzzy. But that has never applied to vaccinations, because vaccinations don't work for everybody, and vaccinations only last for a certain amount of time. And if you look around, you'll realize that most of the people that we're around every day have not had boosters on vaccines, but where are the outbreaks? Herd immunity with vaccines doesn't work, but herd immunity with the wild virus, the wild measles or whatever virus it is, if you can get...
Yeah, they call it the live virus, right?
Well, the vaccines are live virus, but right. Some of them are. And another, just a side note, I don't want to go into this very deeply, but most live virus vaccines are grown in human fetal tissue. So just put that in the back of your mind and think about it a little bit. You can Google it and figure it out.
It's shocking how it's tied into the abortion pro-death agenda. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But we digress. The point is that they didn't want people to see this this education module, really, what, at the hearing?
Yeah, they didn't. It was really weird. I would have thought that they would have been proud of it and they would have wanted to show it. You know, this is our thing. We did this. But it's really, really a bunch of garbage. And even one of the House representatives who was on that committee, who's a medical doctor, he was sitting over in the corner of they've got this U-shaped area where all the committee members sit. You know, if you've been in there, you know what I'm talking about. And then the people who are testifying are at a desk down on the floor. Anyway, he's sitting back there in the corner.
It's like a higher area, Sam, for you to sit when you're more important.
Of course it is. Absolutely.
It's like where the judges
would sit. Well, and what it means is when you're not at the high area, you don't have the ability to even speak up. You just get shut down real easy. And they kind of love this control mechanism.
Well, that's the protocol. That is the protocol. And there does have to be some kind of protocol and decorum. But this legislator...
As long as they use it fairly according to Robert's Rules of Order, we agree. When they manipulate and grandstand and control the mic and do things to shut everybody down and create consensus building, we disagree. But your point's well taken.
Right. So you're going to want to hear what this guy said, actually. He's a medical doctor, and he was sitting over there, and he was just looking at them like, I can't even believe what I just saw. And he said, so you talked a little bit about the adverse reactions from vaccines, and you talked a lot about the benefits of vaccines, but you didn't tell them the real serious adverse reactions. Death is an adverse reaction to vaccines. Are you going to tell them that? So this is coming from a medical doctor who's not necessarily ever been vocal on our side of this issue. He's been, if anything, he's leaned a little bit towards their side in the past, but he was just shaking his head. He could not believe this module. And he said, you might want to go through and put some actual information in there. And he told them that it was insulting and condescending. And anyway, he's right. He's right. But that doesn't apply to everyone nationwide. But you should be aware that these modules exist. And I know that some of them are longer than ours is. Ours is a 20-minute module. And the one in Oregon, I think, is an hour and a half. So they are definitely propaganda, they're indoctrination, and what they're hoping to do is get people in there to get the vaccines. They don't tell you the negative reactions that people have to vaccines.
Let me stop you and ask you this. If their modules are full of blatant falsehoods, in other words, the court has even dealt with this dilemma where they say that we know vaccines aren't safe and effective, but for the greater good, they must be. I mean, the court's even said that kind of stuff. Okay, can't we sue them for literal fake news propaganda here?
You know, that's something worth checking. I don't know. I know that in Oregon, the vaccine education group up there actually went to the health department with a whole list of inaccuracies, and the health department there actually fixed it.
Wow, so the people can win if we get involved, can't they?
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with this one. So I wanted to also mention before we run out of time that there was a study that was done by four or five pediatrician scientist type people that indicates that there are pockets of areas where people are getting non-medical exemptions. And the reason that they want everyone to get medical exemptions is because they can't. they know that it's almost impossible to get a medical exemption. So KSL contacted me the other day.
Yeah, it's kind of like a temporary tax and getting rid of it, right?
Yeah. So KSL contacted me the other day about this study, and they wanted to know why I think that parents are opting out of vaccinations in greater numbers, because this is, for the health departments, this is horrifying. And Provo and Salt Lake City are two of those horrible hot pockets of non-medical exemptions. So they're thinking, or they're telling everyone, that we're going to have huge outbreaks of these horrible childhood diseases that could have been prevented by vaccines, when actually you said that I studied really hard on this 4 years ago. I have never quit studying this, and the things that are coming out now are suggesting that these childhood illnesses are actually protecting people from certain kinds of cancer. And they give you lifetime immunity. So really, a childhood illness that is handled properly gives you lifetime benefit. It's a week or so that you might be sick, and then you end up with lifetime immunity. You can pass on, if you're a mother, you can pass on that immunity to your infant in breast milk. And it's just, there are so many things we don't know, and so many things that we're just kind of hitting the tip of the iceberg on for the benefits of these illnesses.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, Kristen Chevrier. All right, we're talking about vaccine advocacy. VaccineFreedomUtah.com, her website. When we come back, I want to break down the promises, well, that were made and not kept with regards to these training modules they're now literally forcing down the throats of Utahns starting July 1st. We'll tell you about it. Hang tight.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Kristen Chevrier with us, ladies and gentlemen, doing a phenomenal job. She's been studying vaccines in depth, and she wants transparency. She wants choice. She's an advocate of vaccine choice, as am I. And she says health is cultivated, not injected. Amen to that. VaccineFreedomUtah.com is the website. And I want to talk a little bit about, as this module was developed, a lot of promises were made and what, broken, Kristen?
Well, okay, so we talked about a little bit about that just earlier, but what they had promised us on this, we had this huge negotiation between the health department and the people who are interested in informed consent and parental choice on vaccines. And what the health department really wants is for everyone to get the vaccines, and so they would prefer mandates. What we really want is for them to get out of our lives and let us do what we choose to do with our lives and health. Because the truth of it is that when you get injured, you're on your own. If they want you to get the vaccines, but they're not going to help you if it hurts you. So we should be able to make that choice. It should be truly informed consent. And informed consent doesn't mean they tell you and then they give you the vaccine. Informed consent means they give you all the information. They read through the entire package insert with you, or they give it to you to read through before you get the vaccination. And then you mull it over and pray about it, whatever it is that you do to make these decisions, because this is a huge life-altering decision, whether you vaccinate or you don't vaccinate. And you really should have your own personal instincts involved in making this decision, and you should have as much information as you can possibly get. So when we had these negotiations, they said, okay, we want you to renew the exemption in seventh grade. Initially, they wanted us to do it every year. And we said, okay, we'll do it in kindergarten and we'll do it in seventh grade. And they had wanted us to always come to the health department. And we said, well, we would like to be able to do it online, because it's a hardship for people to always have to come to the health department. And when people get in there, they get bullied. And so we ended up being able to get it online. But we have to do this education module, which is a crock. It's just full of misinformation. So if you're going to do the education module, to get an exemption, and I recommend that you get exemptions to some or all of the vaccines. I don't know how many people who are listening realize this, but we went from just a handful of vaccines in the 1970s to 72 vaccines. And when I say a handful, not more than five vaccines in the 1970s, to 72 vaccines in 2014. So we've made a huge jump in the number of toxins that we're injecting into our bloodstreams, into our children's bloodstreams. And if we expect nothing to go wrong, we're crazy, because lots of things are going wrong. Okay, so you wanted to talk about the promises, and I'm getting off track. But
I just wanted people to understand, though, that we try to work with these people, and this is where the disingenuousness is a problem, or the trust factor becomes an issue as well. We try to stand together and say, let's craft something that's meaningful to all. Let's bring the, whatever you want to say, the factions together and come up with a common sense solution for everybody. The problem is they don't even play ball openly and honestly, right?
Right, because in the process, they promised me personally multiple times that the existing exemptions that are lifetime exemptions, where you go get it in kindergarten and it follows your child through 12th grade, that they would be grandfathered and not affected by the new law. Well, as soon as the law was passed, they backpedaled on that, and now they are not going to accept the old exemptions. So you have to get the new exemption if you want to be exempt. And then the next thing that they promised me was that we would have input on the module. And as I said earlier, I followed that through the entire year after the law was signed and kept being promised that we'll let you know as soon as we're working on it. And then I actually heard on Facebook that they had finished the module. It was just a random discussion that I saw on Facebook, and somebody said, well, I saw the module, and it's this and this and this. And I said, what? You saw the module? I was supposed to be able to see the module before it was complete and give input. But no, we did not give any input on the module. And it's full of nonsense, and we're hoping that we can work with the health department to correct that. And that's our goal, actually, today. Just in an hour, I've got people coming over here to go through it and to present them with studies that show that what they're saying is not true. Studies and other data, like the vaccine injury data from the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program.
Barbara Lowe Fisher at Vaccine Rights and 909shot.com. And anyway, Barbara Lowe Fisher and those guys are doing a great job. Are we willing to have those people come to the table and educate the Utah legislature and or some of these committees on some of these things as well, or no?
Well, we could, but we don't need them. We've got all the information. And actually, Barbara Lowe Fisher has played a huge role in my education on this issue. Her National Vaccine Information Center website, nvic.org, is full of very well considered factual information on all of the vaccines. And she's got a whole thing that she's written up on vaccine policy that you can get there, and you can print that out and take it to your legislators. If you feel like you need to have some more information to give them, I would recommend that everybody throughout the U.S. and wherever you have the opportunity, I would recommend that you talk to your lawmakers, wherever they are, get to know them and start talking to them and educating them, first of all, on the fact that we should have the autonomy to decide which medical interventions we're going to participate in.
It's about transparency and choice, folks.
Exactly. And once you give up the right to choose which medical interventions you're going to take part in, you've given up the right to your body. When people can inject you with whatever they want and you don't have a right to say no, then what do you have left? I think that's
the ultimate private property is your body, I would say.
Start. That is the ultimate privacy right and personal choice right.
Now, by the way, what Kristen is telling us, folks, is the same thing that Alan Phillips, vaccinerights.com, well-known national vaccine defense attorney to help folks with choice. And he really mentions that we need to work on this legislatively as well. After the fact, and lawsuits are, you know, maybe necessary on occasion, but it's much better. It's much less expensive, much more efficient or inexpensive to work through your legislative bodies than it is to work on the back end with lawsuits, etc. And so you guys are both saying the same thing. Work on it through legislation. Work on it through education.
Alan is fantastic. Alan is actually under attack in North Carolina right now because of the work that he's doing. So, yes, we need to educate ourselves first. And to do that, I would highly recommend reading the book that we talked about, Suzanne Humphrey's Dissolving Illusions, and you can get it on Amazon. I would read that. I would also go to National Vaccine Information Center. It's nvic.org. You can get all kinds of information on all the different vaccinations there. And there's also a website called medsciencesearch.com, and you can look up any vaccine on there and get information, links to studies on the vaccines. So educate yourself and then talk to your neighbors. One of the things that I've been doing recently is wearing a T-shirt. Whenever I'm going out where there are a lot of people, I wear a T-shirt that says health is cultivated, not injected, or some other T-shirt that has a message on it about vaccine freedom or getting information on vaccines, because I think there are a lot of people out there who just don't know where to look for information.
And yeah, we got to have a T-shirt that says, don't die, don't believe the lie, don't take the jab.
Yeah, I mean, we should, and I think people feel isolated and alone in this, on this issue. They feel like they're pariahs if they choose not to vaccinate. And choosing to be healthy is not, you're not hurting other people by choosing to be healthy. You don't need to light yourself on fire to keep your neighbors warm. What you need to do is you need to do what's right for you, because ultimately a healthy population is going, people who are healthy naturally are going to improve the health of the overall community. So we've got to get away from this idea that people who don't vaccinate are vectors of disease. That's simply not true. You don't spread a disease you don't have. So, anyway, how much more time?
Oh, we got about 2 minutes left. What do you want to tell America? You're talking to not only the United
Wait,
States, and the nation,
just a
but
sec.
The world.
So she said, "You don't spread a disease you don't have." I mean, that's kind of a way out idea, isn't it, Sam?
Well, hey, the truth shall set you free.
Wow.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that when you're injected with a live virus vaccine, you can actually spread the diseases or the illnesses that you're being vaccinated for. I have a friend who is immune compromised, and during the season when everybody's getting shots, like flu shots, going back to school, she has to wear a mask, because if she's exposed to the shedding, they call it shedding, when a live virus vaccine communicates a disease or illness to another person. The flu vaccine, the MMR, the varicella vaccine, there's a whole list of them that are live virus vaccines, and you can actually pass them to other people.
Is that part of the safe and effective plan?
I guess so. Sounds pretty safe and effective to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the bottom line. Let's be very clear. I'm against vaccinations. I'll be very clear with my viewpoints. However, our agenda is not to force you to agree with us. Our goal is to make sure that there's literal, honest, and open, transparent information so that you can figure it all out for yourself. And then we believe in the right of conscience and the right to our private property, our bodies, to make the choice that you feel. We're actually pro-choice on vaccines, folks. And we want you to be able to choose as you best think, not have someone choose for you. That's what this is about,
Absolutely.
Kristen.
Absolutely. Yes. Educate yourselves and then make an informed decision. And I back you up on whatever decision you make, because you are the one who's going to live with the consequences of your decision.
As long as you don't shed near me.
You know. Yeah, well, there's that. That's true.
Kristen, thank you so much. We want to have you back.
Thank you very much.
All right, there she goes, ladies and gentlemen, doing a phenomenal job. It takes time out of her busy schedule to jump on the radio with us, and now she's out actively trying to work on that, quote, modular curriculum to make sure that it has honesty and transparency and factual information in it for Utahns. And beware, because these modules and these manipulative realities in terms of the truth coming to a state or a theater near you. Vaccinations, ladies and gentlemen, a very, very, very controversial topic, but we submit to you that we're after transparency and choice. And Kurt worked really hard to get this thing set up. Thank you, Kurt, for that. We appreciate it. For all of us, we thank you for your involvement, for your dedication to the sacred cause of liberty. We, the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will make a difference. Will you help us? LibertyRoundtable.com, we declare this nation shall endure.